Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. Thanks, everyone, for joining us today. As you know, we're doing a daily live show Monday through Friday, 1 to 2. And here we are at sexwithemily.com.
Hey, Menace. I was wondering why you were looking over into the
I was just thinking. When I just think, like, when I talk, I'm like, when I'm trying to think of what I'm going to say, I look up.
Yeah.
Do you know that people have different eye movements for things they do? Like if they're lying, they look one way. If they're thinking, they look another way. If they're like, there's ways to catch people. But everyone's, yeah. It's different on everyone. But well, people like look down when they're lying or look to the left. But anyway,
you're listening to sex. Where do you look when you're lying?
Hold on. Well, ask me a question. I'm going to lie. Ask me a question that I would lie to.
How many people have you slept with?
I look down and then up.
All right.
No, that's counting, and that would take some time. Okay, everyone, thanks so much for listening to Sex with Emily. You can find more at sexwithemily.com if you're listening live. Thank you so much. As you know, we are doing 5 shows a week. You want everyone to become a Friends with Benefits member. You can do that all on sexwithemily.com. It's $4.95 a month, $49.95 a year, and you're getting 5 times the content. It's 15 cents a day. And 15 cents a day, I think, for better sex, which millions of people have listened to the show and they've improved their sex life through Sex with Emily. And I think that you should too.
And 15 cents a day totals to $4.95 a month. Because people are like, well, 15 cents a day, what's that total to? And that's $4.95.
Right, exactly. Well, I divided it actually by – when I got that number, I divided the $49.95 by the shows that we're doing. We're doing – we're doing 5 shows a week times 52 times – so times 52 weeks a year. Anyway, that's how I forgot the number.
You're blowing my mind right now.
I was doing a lot of math. My head hurts just talking about it. But that's how I came up with that. So anyway, thanks, everyone. We so appreciate your support. So just check out the website, the new website, which is so great and evolving every day. And you can – today we'll be reading your emails that you either submitted on my website. I have a Q&A section now that's really easy for you to submit your questions or at feedback@sexwithemily.com. Some of the topics today include nudity, smoking and sexual performance, date ideas, hand jobs, warming her up for sex, and flirting techniques. Plus, we'll be talking about long distance relationships and how to keep it hot even when your partner isn't around, and some phone sex tips because that kind of goes well with long distance relationships. And since I'm a professional.
At phone sex now?
No, I'm not a professional. I'm just good at it.
Okay. What did you do yesterday? What was your...
Well, yesterday
you don't
was
have
chuckle.
To tell me what, because I'll lead into what you told me that you were doing. But what did you do during the day?
During the day, I worked.
Yeah.
And then I went to, I was here, and then I was with my interns working. And then I went to a non-monogamy polyamory class at Good Vibrations last night with my sex school friends.
And how did that go?
That was good. It was from 6 to 8, and it was called, you know, polyamory non-monogamy. And there was 3 people there. And they're all in a relationship. So the woman sat in the middle, and the guy to her left, she's been in a relationship with for 8 years. Mm-hmm. And then the guy to the right, she's been in a relationship for 3 years. She lives with the guy to her left. His name's Pepper. He does a lot of sex talk, monogamy stuff. And basically, so they're in an 8-year relationship. He's seeing 5 other women.
Yeah.
Her other boyfriend's seeing 3 other women, and she's just seeing the 2 of them.
Which one of them had a ponytail?
One of them did have a ponytail. Oh, my God. But they're not swingers. They're not swingers. They're polyamorous.
It's kind of a swinger lifestyle.
They're non-monogamous. It's different. But it was really, really interesting because I thought that it was interesting because some of the things that I got out of it. I was thinking that. I'm like, oh, my God, Menace is going to ask me this. And someone's actually – they both had long hair, but one didn't have it in a ponytail. Yeah,
but you know he puts it in a ponytail.
Sometimes when he's doing the business. But it was interesting because, you know, we talked a lot about jealousy and how people in these relationships overcome jealousy. And it was an interesting – she gave an example. She's like, yeah, I get jealous all the time. I mean, sometimes she's like Pepper, her boyfriend. She's like, he'll be out. And I'll be thinking, oh, my God, he's out with someone who's hotter than me and who's – they're having an amazing time. And I'm just home alone. She goes, and then I like flip it. Like you flip, you learn how to deal with jealousy when you're in an open relationship. And she's like, then I flip it. I'm like, I've got the house to myself. I'm going to watch a movie, have dinner, and take a bath. Like, you know what I mean? Like when you go down jealous paths in your brain, you can easily just switch it around.
Sounds fun.
It's good times.
Anyways, so, I want to lead into another story.
Go ahead.
I told you guys yesterday I was going to ILM to go check out a movie and check out the place, and it was amazing. I saw a Super 8, which was really, really good.
Oh, good.
I recommend people going and seeing that. It's like it's kind of like Goonies meets E.T.
Okay, good.
And we set up that I would, after I go to the movie, that I would go to your house and hook up the new porn system.
Which we'll talk about in a minute, yeah.
Right? So I call you, and then obviously there's all this noise in the background, and you're not home. You're somewhere.
Right.
And then I ask, where are you? And you're like, oh, I'm at a hotel downtown, and people were beating each other. What was going on?
They were flogging each other. I was with all my sex school friends, and they're all in town from all over the world.
Yeah.
For 3 weeks to take these classes, and it's like a college – I mean, it is. They're like – I mean, I guess they are college students, and they're all, you know, in their early 20s or – mid to late, whatever. They're all in their 20s pretty much. And they're just partying and flogging. They have all these flogging utensils. Like everyone has their own thing. Like they're into BDSM or they're bisexual or they're into flogging. So there was all – and everyone – like every time we turned around, we were just sitting there drinking out of those red plastic cups. It was like being in college. Yeah. There was like 15 women, one dude. There's this new hot guy. He's from Chile and he's an actor in Chile and he's in our class. So it's him and like 15 women and we're all sitting there like flogging on top of each other like drinking, partying. It was really fun. I wanted you to come. And so, yeah they were all flogging each other's asses and like people are climbing on top of each other and they're just like drinking and smoking out the window. Like we're in San Francisco. You can't smoke in a hotel room, but it was really fun. But I was, if you were going to meet me, okay, so that I'm glad you mentioned it. I wanted you to come over and set up my new Fire TV is our new sponsor. So I have to introduce everybody to Fire TV. They are so awesome. They're like the Netflix of porn. It's the ultimate adult video experience. They've got 15,000 movies that you can access. All your favorite porn stars, Menace, are going to be there, are on TV. Find your perfect scene and watch it on your TV, computer, phone, or tablet. So you can watch it. Like, they sent me their, like, ultimate set-top box that you're going to come over and set up someday.
Yeah.
You can also do it on your TV, your computer, your phone.
Yeah.
And all new members get the Fire TV exclusive Wealth and Deception in their library as a bonus for joining. So it's Fire TV. It's FYRETV.com. You can go there and see the hottest girls in the world's hottest films. So I want everyone to check it out. It's porn, Netflix of porn, like every show. And I was getting really turned on watching their advertisement yesterday at the office. I was sort of uncomfortable. So anyway, I'm excited for you to come over. And when are you going to do that?
I don't know when you're not getting flogged. How many times were you flogged?
I was flogged a few times for like five. At one point, I was just on the phone and I'm bent over like this. And Sarah, who was on the show that time, she's like bisexual and into BDSM and she's a professional dominatrix. So she was like flogging me. I like it. It feels good.
While you were on the phone?
I was on the phone talking to you. And I was like, I think I was talking to you. And then I was talking to, I don't remember, like a friend that I was trying to meet up with. I wasn't talking to a dude. No, there was no dude. But they're crazy. These people are – they're hilarious. They were going out in the Castro again.
Uh-huh.
They go out every night to the Castro and get wasted and party, and they all hook up.
Yeah.
It's very incestuous.
Wow.
It's good times. But I'm not in school this semester.
You're
I just want
to stop by? And I was like,
No, I'm going home. But you were supposed to come over, but then I got sucked into their life after
the
polyamory class, into the flogging. I mean, literally, I walked in and everyone's being flogged. And then at one point, everyone's leaning over the bed and she's just going around flogging everyone, being professional. But we're not like joking around. It wasn't like, it was like just funny. And then we all love each other. We just climb over each other and it's fun.
Sounds
good times. You missed
crazy.
It.
Crazy. Yeah.
But you were at ILM. What'd you say?
I missed out.
Right, exactly. So I thought, anyway, okay, so going back to the polyamory class, which I know you think that I want that or
that's,
that I am.
That's your dream.
I don't know if it's my dream.
Why don't you just accept it? I don't understand. Like, everything that you say since I've known you points to the polyamory, you know, relationship.
I know. That's what my
polyamory.
One of my best friends says to me. She's always like, I think you're polyamorous. I might be. But I don't
want to share.
No, do I not want to share? I share everything. I shared that I had gone down on a woman yesterday. That was major. Oh, today we're playing the rest of our 20 questions. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying that you don't want to share the person that you're with, but you want to go.
I know.
Do your thing.
I know.
So that's what you should say when you're about to get in a relationship or you're just dating with somebody. This is what I want. Can you handle it?
Right.
And just narrow them all out and stop wasting your time.
Okay. Thanks for the advice. No, but I'm sure you could find
somebody like that.
Oh, I'm sure. There's like a last night. There was a bunch of them there. And I'm sure I could. I'm not 100% sure that that's what I want like long term. But I think for now, that's sort of what I'm not committing to anyone. I'm just sort of dating
I just guarantee you if you date a guy and he comes in here and he has a ponytail, I'm going to barf.
Dude, I would never. I would not do the ponytail. I would not do a dude with ponytail. No, I have done a dude with a ponytail before. But then he cut it off. Yeah, exactly. So but I was dying, and they all had their hair dyed different colors. One was blue, one was red, one was green. The people speaking on the panel last night. But another interesting thing we talked about was that about non-monogamy. And people's like, because when interns asked me this morning, they're like, well, does it work? Or what do you think about it? And it's like, I think that every relationship is challenging. Every relationship, there's jealousy. And that you just learn to like, you know, like you learn to overcome it. But there are no role models of like, oh, well, they're in an open relationship and this is how you do it. Like there is monogamous couples. So they kind of have to make their own rules and set their own guidelines. And I was like, well, how do you guys schedule? That was like my big question. Because I'm like, you're sleeping with 5 people. She's sleeping with 3 people. He's sleeping with 3 people. And then all his people are sleeping with people, and they're all sleeping with all these people, and they're like, oh, we have a Google calendar that we share, and it takes, like, months. And you can't be spontaneous. Like, I can't be, like, new girl and be like, hey, let's hook up tonight. They're like, tonight, Sarah, and it's been booked for 6 weeks because you have to really – when you're all sleeping with all these different people, you have to really, like, you know, have a Google calendar with different color coding stuff. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow, it's amazing. It
sounds expensive, too. Like,
well, they're not saying they're going out for dinner. Is that what you're going to say, that it's expensive?
Yeah.
I don't think you're taking them on dates. I think there's a lot of sex happening, just like sex.
So you just show up to the house and you have sex and
I think
you
so.
Leave?
I'm sure you like might go to a movie sometime or the coffee shop, but I think that it's a lot of like if you're seeing someone – so if he's living with this woman but he's sleeping with 5 other women, that's like – so I guess he sees them all once a month? I mean, there's just a lot of coordination. I don't know.
Yeah. That's too much time.
Too much time. Too much – a lot of sex. But I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want that.
5 women to deal
men?
With that you got to listen to, and they might want to talk. What?
Men is they don't want to talk, and they might want to cuddle.
Oh, that would suck.
You would hate that. You're like, so I just one is bad for you, right?
Yeah.
There's nobody in your life right now. No time. I know you're really busy.
No.
You're just not gonna tell me.
I'm cool. Just what?
What?
I don't care right now. I just don't care.
I know. That's how I feel. That's how I try to explain to my mother who keeps asking me, like, who are you dating? What's going on? And I was like, I'm really not focused on that right now, that part of my life. I'm focused on sex with Emily, this work, but not relationships.
Yeah.
But it's all good. Okay. We've got some sex in the news that we're going to do, and then we're going to get into the 20 questions. So we have a contest going on. We submitted lots of questions. We picked... We're going to read 20 questions. Yesterday we read some. Menace and I are answering any of your questions, and then we're going to pick the best one, and they're going to win.
Okay.
The best question. But we can get into some sex in the news. We've got some good ones today.
What do you got?
Okay. New York Times, ambition. This was in the New York Times on Friday, and I love this article. Ambition plus desire equals trouble. Research suggests that physiology plays a role in whether or not a man is the cheating kind or not. So it just could be in your genes that we've talked about this, that men cheat. Anthony Weiner, who resigned, we know, might not have known what he'd been thinking. He said there was a quote from him saying, I don't know what I was thinking. And they're like, that might be true. He might not really know what he's thinking. But scientists have an idea or two. Most people who get as far as he's gotten are high testosterone people. Along with that ambition comes a high sex drive. Testosterone's linked with both of them. So they're saying that men who are highly ambitious have high testosterone, and that's going to lead to higher risk-taking, and that risk-taking is going to lead to cheating and tweeting.
And tweeting?
Cheating and tweeting.
Oh, okay.
Or cheating and...
I actually had a debate about this today with a friend of mine about Wiener.
What'd you debate?
We were just debating, like, you know, if he should have stepped down or not. And I think, and my position was, I think it was up to his peers if he should have stepped down.
And they all thought he should.
Yeah, or the people that voted him. I'm sorry.
Oh, you meant his constituents?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it should have been up to them because he was just being a man. It's just that he's a public figure.
Right.
And I feel that if you are going to think your public figure is going to be an angel, then you're going to be let down.
I know, because that those men have the ambition and the desire. So men, particularly successful men, have an evolutionary history of polygamy. So men who are successful have polygamy. They're like, okay, I'm really successful. I can sleep with as many women as I want. Men who pursue politics are also pursuing power. And from an evolutionary perspective, the whole goal of men striving for power is to increase their access to sexual opportunities. And I've always said that. I said, I think the men who become the most successful and the most powerful and have the most money are like, okay, check, check, check. I've got everything in my life I want. I've got the cars. I've got the homes. I've got one wife. But I want more sex. I want more sex, and I can have that because I have this sort of elevated sense of self. And if I can have anything in the world and I have all this success, I want more sex. So that's also – it's evolutionary speaking.
I also said that a lot of these guys, they were nerds and they just
– there's some of that. Like growing up, yeah, they would never got laid and then they finally got power.
Now they got power and now they don't know how to handle it.
Right, right. So it's interesting. And then in – one possible answer is there's a correlation between testosterone and risk-taking. Dr. Helen Fisher, who is an expert in all this stuff, cheating and evolutionary psychology, says, I'm not going to make an excuse for this guy or any of them. But when he says, I don't know what I was thinking, he probably literally was not seeing or evaluating or weighing properly all of the outcomes for this. Because it's the risk-taking. He's not thinking to himself, oh, what's going to happen? What's the ramifications? Because everyone questions that. Like, why would Bill Clinton do what he does? Or why would all these people do it? And it's because the risk-taking testosterone. I thought it was a great article. It's very interesting. You're an ambitious man, but you're not a cheater.
No. I just don't – my theory is if you're going to cheat on somebody, just don't be with anybody.
Right. Women have better gaydar when they're most fertile.
Really?
Yeah, which is good to know, just in case. New science suggests that the nearer women are to peak ovulation, the more accurate their gaydar becomes. This was in Psychology Today. They performed various experiments and came up with the following findings. Women who are approaching peak fertility can tell whether a man is straight or gay just by looking at his face. So if they're ovulating, they're like, gay or straight. Women who are approaching peak fertility can't tell whether a woman is gay or straight by looking at her face. Just men. So isn't that interesting? That's obscure.
It's odd.
And I don't have good gaydar. I think
really?
I bag – no. I
have amazing gaydar.
You do?
Except for one person that I did not know.
Okay. What happened?
Only one time.
Yeah, really? I have bad gaydar. I guess – I don't really think about it. I just – but a lot of guys I date, people always think they're gay, but they're not. People think they are. So that's why I think I have bad gaydar, because I'm like, I don't even see – I meet people and I don't know that they're gay, and then I date people that could be gay, but I don't know that they don't seem effeminate to me. I have such high testosterone, I think, as a woman.
I don't know why, but she ends up dating gay guys all the time.
Are they really gay, though?
They're really gay.
Are they bisexual, obviously?
They're bisexual,
sleeping with her.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I don't know.
What happens? Does she get
– And then it's weird because she's like – really religious, so
okay.
She doesn't – her outlook on gay people aren't, you know, as open
okay.
as the, you know, general public here in the Bay Area. And she starts, like, really drilling them. Like, are you gay? Are you really gay? Do you like guys? Do you have sex with guys? And then then they end up saying yes, and then she just breaks up with them. Like, I don't know why she – like,
why
somehow
would she even go out with them?
But she doesn't initially see it for some reason.
But why are they even together that they're having the conversation? That seems weird.
What do you mean?
Well, how does she even get with that? Like, she's with him and then she's like, are you really gay? Like, she's trying to talk them out of being gay because they're so great?
No, she doesn't try to talk them out of it. But for some reason, initially, when she starts hanging out with them.
She doesn't know they're gay.
She doesn't know
they're
gay.
She thinks it's going to be like a relationship. That's
yeah.
a bummer.
Or no, she does get in a relationship with them, but then they...
They're like, sorry, but we're not
yeah.
fooling around. And that's yeah. a really interesting pattern. I've never heard that before. I don't know what that's about.
I don't know how it happens to her, but it happens.
She should just go out when she's ovulating, and then she'll yeah. be able to be like, boom, oh, you're gay. I'm not going to go through the same thing again.
Well, see, the thing is, I think this is what happens. She goes out in nightclubs, and
yeah.
she finds a guy that's really good looking that knows how to dance, gay. See, that's what happens.
Oh my God, I wish I went
if
out.
If he's well dressed, good looking, and he knows how to dance, ladies.
Right. Gay.
I'm just saying you should ask them first before you try
to ask if you're gay. I know. It's hard to tell. I know. It is hard to tell in San Francisco. And it is true when you go in the Castro, the men are so good looking that you're like, and then you're like, oh, I'm in the Castro. Wake up. I'm in the Castro. They're not straight. Not that there aren't straight men in the Castro, but. Okay. SF circumcision ban. We talked about this briefly, but lawsuit seeks to block ballot measure. A lawsuit has been filed on behalf of the Jewish and Muslim families in an effort to block a San Francisco ballot measure that would ban the circumcision of male children.
I'd live in a wacky
crazy
town, everybody.
The supporters say male circumcision is a form of genital mutilation that parents should not be able to force on their young child. Opponents say a ban on a religious rite considered sacred by Jews and Muslims is a violation of constitutional rights. Which is true. Why do we have to be dictating in San Francisco about foreskin? I don't understand it. And Happy Meals. We banned Happy Meals last year.
And plastic bags.
We're like a crazy town.
We can't
fix Muni, the bus system? Can't we clean up the homeless people? Can't we clean up the areas of the town? Like,
no.
But we're like banning foreskin. Like,
no.
That's such a problem.
We've got to shut down certain streets.
San Francisco is a crazy town. Maybe I should move, or it's made me crazier. I've lived here for so friggin' long. I know you always say that because you're like, wouldn't you love to travel back in time with me, like to Michigan when I lived there, and then you could see like the nice, sweet, innocent Emily.
And before you came to hang out with the wacky hippies in San Francisco?
Yes. I think I was not as – I think I've always been very liberal and open, but when you live here for a long time, you just sort of meld into it all. Okay, female zebra finches may inherit infidelity gene from cheating fathers.
What?
Finches find a partner and stick with it forever. Yes, the finches. But that is only to share a nest and has nothing to do with mating. Males mating outside their partner only increases their chance of reproductive success. A promiscuous female only loses more than she gains because she can only reproduce with one mate at a time. So one question the research raises is whether humans might also blame unfaithfulness on the sins or underlying genes of their father. So they're saying from finches, can we extrapolate that to our own stuff, like to why we cheat? If we had like a cheating father or a cheating mother, can they pass that gene on? What's talking about fathers now?
I didn't know that birds cheated.
Yeah. They usually partner with one, but the ones who are cheating, yeah, they do. Because they usually mate for life with one person, but some of them don't. They fall out. Yeah. The wayward finches.
That's pretty incredible. But I heard that with penguins too. They
yes, exactly.
One person, so.
Yeah. I wonder about all that stuff, the cheating. It's so interesting because I do think a lot of it is genetic and has to do with testosterone. And I think I have a lot of testosterone. Can I get that measured somehow? Because I do feel like a dude a lot.
Why?
But like I don't have a lot of excessive like hair or like a penis or anything. But I do feel like things growing in weird places.
You don't have a penis?
I don't have a penis, but I feel like I do sometimes. And I feel like in my relationships, I always feel like I take on the role of the man.
You take control?
Kind of. No. The way I act in relationships towards commitment, much like a man. Whatever. We know this. Okay. Royal wedding sparks demand for morning after pill. This is hilarious. Did you hear this? It wasn't just Will and Kate who were celebrating their wedding after hours. The royal wedding seems to have sparked some romance of the spontaneous kind. The National Health Service, Northamptonshire, told The Mirror, this is in the UK, that demands for the emergency contraception, better known as the morning after pill, tripled over the royal wedding weekend.
That's just because the population grew. There were so many people in town.
No, I don't think so. But it was sheer lust that drove Brits into each other's arms so carelessly, or was it the country's hard partying ways? Pubs in England were allowed to stay open 2 hours later until 1 a.m. so patrons could properly celebrate the wedding. So everyone was out getting drunk, everyone got laid, and then everyone called their gynecologist in the morning and said, morning after pill, please.
Why didn't we go there?
Why didn't we go there and have unprotected sex? No, why didn't we go there? That would have been so fun to be there during the royal wedding. I didn't really watch it, though, or anything.
I didn't know that wow, I am so tired today.
I know, you seem tired today.
The wedding was such a party central thing.
Yeah, they
I know
open
a lot of people
pubs.
Just go there and they just watch
they
it.
They never open our pubs later here.
No.
It's always closed at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Right?
They would never – oh, yeah. They would never extend it for any reason.
Mm-mm.
In New York, they stay open really late, though.
Yeah, New York is the best, 5 a.m. Like, you look down, it's 4 a.m. You're like, what have we been doing? I think that's really interesting. Morning after pill. Okay, 20 questions.
Yeah, let's go.
Do you want to hear the 20 questions? So, okay, we read some questions yesterday, And then we got some more for today. So we're doing a contest. Everyone writing in their 20 questions. I think we could make this an ongoing segment.
Really?
Sure.
Okay.
So if people have any questions for myself or for Menace, any question you want to ask us about our personal lives, about sex, about anything, just email us and put 20 questions in the subject so we know that that's what it is. You can do feedback@sexwithemily.com or you can do it right up through the website.
And you're not afraid to answer the questions?
Apparently not. I've answered some pretty personal things.
Okay.
And you're not either.
I'm not afraid.
You've been good.
Care.
You're never afraid.
No.
I love that about you.
Whatever.
Whatevs. Okay. What produces the best orgasm? I guess this is more for me. Clitoral, G-spot, or anal? That's from
anal.
Sherry. No. I would say that it's individual. It's a case-by-case basis. I think everyone, like there's some women who have like mind-blowing G-spot orgasms. There's women who have never had them. I don't think that the G-spot orgasm is better than the clitoral orgasm, although that's how it was sort of hyped for many years, mm-hmm. that you have to have this elusive G-spot orgasm to make everything great. And if you're having a clitoral orgasm, it's not really as revered as the G-spot. And I don't think that any of that's true. I think that it's individual. Like, people can have mind-blowing orgasms in different ways. And then anal, like, some people, like, have orgasms through anal sex, and that's amazing for them, too. But I can't answer what's better, what's the best.
You just know what's good for you.
I just know what works for me.
And that is?
I've had orgasms in all different ways.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. It's an age-old debate, but one we all discuss at some time. So, Menace, I'm going to ask you this first.
All right.
It's not too bad.
Okay.
What's the best advice to give someone to get through a breakup, and what's the best advice to start a new relationship? How do you get through a breakup? I know you're going to say something.
How I get through a breakup?
Yeah.
The total man way. I just, you know.
Sleep around with other chicks?
No. I'm just like, I don't make it into a big deal. I tell myself it ended for a reason,
mm-hmm.
and
except the end.
I just go on with my life. I don't cry over anything and pawn over the person. It just,
not even
like,
a little.
No, I'm just, you know,
you're just done. You're just cold. Done. You're just slate.
Yeah,
don't feel it. She's out of my life.
She's out of my life because it must be for a reason.
Right.
And that's it. And then I think that really helps me just to go on and continue my life. I'm not saying that I had that outlook in the past, but I just think it's changed over time after being through quite a few relationships.
Right.
And then this is the best one. And I'm way more happier this way.
Yeah.
That I'm not like crying over somebody.
Right, exactly.
And then the best way to get into a relationship, I would say, is hang out with somebody for a really long time.
Before you get into a relationship.
Yeah.
What do you mean hang out with them? Just don't commit yet, but just go out with them.
Yeah. I mean, if you do want to commit to them and they bring it up that they want to commit and it's, you know, it hasn't been a certain amount of time, then,
right.
you know, go ahead and go for it. And if it doesn't
right.
work out, it doesn't work out.
Right. Okay. That's good.
I guess never be afraid to commit too fast either. Because,
don't be
know,
afraid to commit too fast?
No, because you're not.
I think you should be very afraid.
No, because.
After a relationship, though, like he's saying, like, or who asked this question?
What, the time in between before you get with somebody
Stan,
new?
This is from Stan.
Okay, Stan. I know that I'm kind of saying two things. I am saying that you should hang out with somebody for a long time, but if the issue comes up that you should be together.
Right.
Then I think you should go for it.
Okay.
Because as long as you're not getting married, you can get out of it.
You can dump her ass anytime.
Yeah, kick her ass to the curb,
okay.
man.
Got it. Okay, well, I think the best advice to give someone is to, like Mena said, you got to accept it. You got to accept that the end is there and you just got to move on. Like, you got it. You can't, like, wallow in the what if I did this or what if I did that or I should have done this differently. If it ended, it ended for a reason. Like that book, it's called A Breakup Because It's Broken. It probably was broken and there's probably something you need to change. I think that you need to take care of yourself, too. I think that you need to, like, pamper yourself or do things for yourself that make yourself feel good. And you might have to make these extra efforts to, like, get out of the house and do things for yourself. And just give yourself time. Don't rush back into a relationship right away. I'd say you need to just give yourself the time to heal and to look at – I think it's important to look at our past relationships, like what we learned from them, because I never look at relationships that end as a failure. I never think, oh, I messed up or it was a mistake. I just look at them as learning tools. Like this person I was with, why didn't it work? What can we learn from it and how can we move on? So it's important to do some – introspection.
Some reflection
and introspection.
Don't cry over it.
Don't cry. And don't do revenge. Revenge mode is bad. Take up a new hobby. And time is the best healer. We get time heals all wounds. It's really true. We all get through breakups. You think you can't get through them and you're never going to live without this person, but time does heal it. And then as soon as you can, just go out and start dating. I mean, start dating even if it's just casual. Even if you don't want to go on the date, like make yourself go out. It's like muscles that you have to exercise again because you're not used to it because you've been in a relationship. So it's good to start dating. That's what I think. That's my answer. Okay. So this one's for me. Okay, no. I'm going to do that one last. A question for both of you. Have you ever masturbated in front of your partner? If yes, elaborate on how it went. From Kobe.
Where it's just full-on masturbation, like from beginning to end? In front of them?
Yeah.
No, and I didn't touch them.
Right. You just masturbated in front of your partner.
I've never done that.
But what about mutual masturbation? Like she was masturbating and you were masturbating? Never?
We're just sitting next to each other.
Yeah, or maybe you're touching her a little bit. You're also masturbating. Never.
Then that I don't think that's the same thing. But
have you ever masturbated? You're right. Have you ever masturbated in front of your partner?
No.
Okay,
no.
Got it. Yeah. Cool.
What about you?
Of course. Why? Of course.
I'm just saying.
Yes, I have. But it wasn't like. Yeah. I have. Yes.
Okay.
And would I like to elaborate on it? It went well. You want to know if I elaborated? It went well. It was fine. We were all happy. Okay. Yeah, no, it was good.
Did you use
any? I used a sex toy.
You used a sex toy?
Yeah, like a little bullet or something.
Uh-huh.
And then like usually it was like then it would lead – or it was like after sex where maybe I didn't have an orgasm or it was just for fun because I think mutual masturbation is the best sex tip because that's how you learn. That's how you learn from your partner and what you like and watching each other.
You
is the best thing
like
ever.
You didn't pull out like a massive dildo?
No, I didn't.
You didn't?
I save those for when they go home.
Oh, okay.
No, just kidding.
How do you fit them in your closet?
I don't throw them under my bed.
Oh, okay.
I have so many of them. I need to get rid of some, but I have tons. Okay, masturbate. But I just wanted to give a plug for mutual masturbation. I do it all the time, but it's really a great way to learn what your partner likes. So, masturbate. Good. You should do that.
Oh, speaking about beds, did you get your new bed?
No, I need to. I need to go to the bed store. Why?
Because I've been forgetting for the past 2 weeks after we talked about the new bed that I met the vice president of one of the places that I bought my bed from.
Okay.
And he said for me to email when you're ready.
Oh.
And they'll take care of you.
No way. Yeah. I'm so excited.
I haven't had time. The card has been sitting in my wallet and I keep on pulling it out. I'm like, oh yeah, I keep on forgetting.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I think I'm going to have a new bed because my bed breaks now.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I told you that. It's like this old bed that, like, if I have sex in my bed, like, the slats fall.
Yeah.
And it's annoying, and I just need a new bed. Yeah, and I'm going to get a bed. Oh, I'd love to talk to you that. And then I'm getting a bed with drawers underneath it so I can put all my toys in it.
It's got
built-in drawers. But it's also drawers for, like,
doors, right?
Extra-strength doors. Drawers, not doors.
Okay.
Drawers. Okay, this is for me, a question. Mm-hmm. And it's a bit of a tricky question. It says, what would be more bearable, life without your sex toys or life without Menace?
Ooh.
That is so tough.
Sex toys.
Yeah, I guess
no,
so.
No.
But
life without me would be more bearable. Yeah. More bearable?
What would be more bearable, life without your sex toys or life without Menace? I could never live without Menace.
It would be less convenient without me.
It would be like, yes, I would. I don't know. I mean, life without my sex toys, though, it's like I like my sex toys.
Yeah.
I can't really answer that. I'm not choosing. I don't want to lose either one.
I can choose.
What?
Life without my sex toys.
No.
Done. What?
Yes. Is that good? I'm confused.
No. Wait. I don't know. The way it was worded, it's weird.
What would be more bearable, life without your sex toys or life without Menace? Life without
more
Menace
bearable.
Would be more unbearable.
Okay.
Because I'd miss you. How would you do the show?
I don't know.
But then I'd start missing my sex toys, too. I can't choose. That's a tough one, but it's a great question. I love that question. Okay. And then we've got a question here that's more technical, but I'm going to get some technical stuff.
Yes.
Can you tell us – you won't be able to answer this.
Oh, okay.
Can you tell us more about the vagus nerve and cervix bumping? I'm trying to learn more about it since there seems to be some chatter about it everywhere I go. Thanks.
That's the one that can make you
connection.
Pass out.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know about that. My friend's an EMT. He told me about it like – if you go to the bathroom and you push a little too hard, that you can make yourself faint.
Wow.
From that nerve, yeah.
I never knew that. And it's the same
and they
nerve?
Have to pick up people
the
off
vagus
the
nerve?
Yeah.
I love that you know this.
Yeah. And my buddy actually had that happen to him where he fainted.
In the bathroom? On
the
toilet?
In the bathroom.
How embarrassing. Did he flush first?
He fell over and he hit his head because it was like in New York City. And so there was like a heater right there.
Uh-huh.
And he like... he cut his head open.
Oh my God, going to the bathroom?
Yeah.
That is just, what a way to go. Is he fine though?
Yeah,
is he fine?
Yeah.
Okay, the neuroscientist hypothesized that there was an alternative pathway from the vagina and cervix to the brain, the vagus nerve. It was found that the orgasm pleasure mechanism doesn't even travel through the spine to the brain. There's this thing called the vagus nerve, and because of it, some people paralyzed below the waist are still able to get sexual pleasure. So that's what it is. It doesn't talk about the fact that you could pass out from it.
Yeah.
It has to do with orgasms and the pathway that your orgasm travels. Mm-hmm. And as far as cervix bumping, the penis can hit the woman's cervix, which is the opening to her uterus. The tip of the penis can bump up against her cervix at the end of a thrust. It isn't harmful at all, but it can be unpleasant for the woman. So bumping her cervix. I think also during different times of month, you can hit the cervix in different ways, and it hurts more during different times of month.
I'm sure that happens all the time in porn.
Exactly. Okay, so that's what we got for the 20 questions. So please, we're done. Tomorrow we're picking a winner.
Okay, cool.
Not today, but tomorrow we're going to pick a winner and give a toy because we didn't do that yet. And if you have any more questions, you can send them for next week. Do you like our 20 question segment? Does it make you happy?
Sometimes I had better answers. I apologize.
I think you always have better answers. I mean, good answers, not better.
Thank you.
I think you're really honest and open and sweet. Now we're going to move into emails.
Okay.
Oh, but first we're going to talk about the poll. So
The poll.
Here's the poll results that we posted on Monday. What are you thinking about during sex? Okay. 6% said what I need to do later, my job. 11% said someone else. 37% said the lover that I'm with. 46% said my technique.
That's
what you said. You're thinking about your technique. But what does that mean? You're like, am I going in and out right? Or am I doing it right, making her feel good?
I'm just focusing on making sure that I have a good performance. That's all.
What
that afterwards that you are satisfied.
Right. Okay. Got it. Good.
Is there anything wrong with that?
Nothing's wrong with that. Technique is good. And 37% of the lover they're with, and only 11% said someone else, but maybe they're lying because some people fantasize about other people during sex. Okay, and the new poll that's up. Besides touch, which sense is most pleasurable during sex? Smell, taste, sound, or sight? Which sense is the most pleasurable? Which sense do you get the most out of besides touch?
That's a tough one.
Yeah, smell, taste, sound, or sight? Probably sight, right?
I think so.
But sound is hot, too. And taste can be hot. And smell. I love how someone smells. God, I don't know. I can't pick. But go to our website and vote right now. ASAP.
I'm a guy, so I'm just going to say sight because they like...
Yeah, visual.
Yeah.
The visual thing. Stuff. You're like, oh, wow, that's hot. Okay. Got it.
But I don't know what kind of corny stuff women are going to come up with.
Yeah, you never know with those crazy women. Okay. Hey, Emily, I've been a podcast fanatic for several years, mostly listening to TED Talks or other dorky science tech-related shows. I stumbled across your podcast the other day and quickly became addicted. Since all the podcasts I listen to are free, I would never have thought that I would pay to listen to one. However, paying the very reasonable – oh, did we read this one yesterday?
No.
Paying the very reasonable price – oh, I just read it out loud at the office because I loved it. However, paying the very reasonable price of 15 cents a day is more than worth it.
Sweet. Thank you very
much. Sweet. Thank you. So she's a premium member. I'm a 32-year-old single woman, and I recently rejoined the dating world, and I couldn't have found your show at a better time in my life. I'm pretty open-minded and I'm very comfortable with my body and sex, but I don't have many good girlfriends to talk about this kind of stuff who feel the same way, so I truly feel like I'm listening to a good new friend when I listen to your show. Anywho, just want to tell you that I love your show and that you rock. Jenny from Houston, Texas. She's a premium Friends with Benefits member. Thanks, Jenny, my new BFF. We are here for you every day, Monday through Friday, 1 to 2 Pacific Standard Time.
Love Houston.
I know, and you can listen after. It's so fun. Texas is fun. Austin's super fun. Mm-hmm. So thanks, Jenny. That's right, everyone. If you're listening right now, become a Friends with Benefits member. It's 15 cents a day to have better sex. I think it's worth it. Time to do it. Been thinking about going nude at Baker Beach, Emily. I have no problems being nude on my own backyard. However, still working up to the public thing. Any tips from
That's
classical
the naked
lover?
Beach around here, right?
Yeah, there's Baker Beach. I've been there naked. Have you ever been there naked?
No. Why would I do that?
What are my tips for you for going to Baker Beach? Just slowly remove your clothing. I would say you get there, and at first it's weird, and you feel like, oh, God, I can never get naked. I can never – because there is a – Baker Beach is such a beautiful beach when it's nice out, like on days like today when it's absolutely beautiful in San Francisco.
Yeah.
It's a little cooler today. Today wouldn't be a good Baker Beach day, but like yesterday would have been. Anyway, it's right at the foot of Golden Gate Bridge, and it's just beautiful. And there is a part of the beach that's nude a little further down, and then there's a part that's not nude.
Can I go in there if I'm not nude?
Yeah.
It's all good?
It's all good. San Francisco. People Sweet. Don't care. But it is a lot of gay. It's gay. Well, it's gay and regular. Gray and regular. That's such a bad thing to say. Gay and straight. Yeah. I don't mean regular. I don't mean that we're regular and you're not normal.
I offended
I've
Greg.
Just offended everyone. What?
I offended Greg one time
Why?
By saying normal and then gay accidentally.
Yeah, I just did mean, it. I didn't mean it either. I meant we'll move on.
But he gave me so much crap for it.
But he's probably just teasing you. Yeah, we have to all go for drinks again.
Yeah.
That was super fun.
It was really fun.
Okay. Being nude at Baker Beach, yeah. I just say you kind of ease into it. You get there and you think, oh, God, this is going to be weird. But then you look around, you're like, everyone's naked. And then you just drop your drawers. And then there you are naked. And that's just my tip for you. Like, see how comfortable you feel. Come with clothes. I wouldn't walk up totally naked. And then you just kind of ease into it. It's like the first time I got naked, I went to a topless beach. And, you know, in France or in Europe, yeah. You don't know this, but you know this, but you haven't been to Europe. But a lot of the beaches are topless. So I was in the south of France when I was like 22, right after I graduated from college. I went backpacking with a friend of mine and we went to the nude beach and I was like really nervous about taking off my top because I was like, that's just so weird. It's a weird thing. But of course I had to try it. So I took my top off at the beach and we were just lying out all day and everyone's got their top off. Like literally all the women have their top off at the beach. So it's not that weird. But then these American guys came up and started talking to us and then it was really awkward. Like at first it didn't matter because we were in France. We don't know anyone. But then when the American guys were like, hey, what are you guys doing? I'm like, oh, my God, I have no top on, and I'm talking to this American dude. So that was weird. But I've never done it before. But I did it. I tried it.
That is awkward. Speaking of awkward, can I bring up something?
Please, Menace.
We took a photo yesterday.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good photo until somebody said something, and then I noticed it too.
What?
Did you post it up on the website or not?
Yes.
Okay, there's a poster. It's a photo of you and I'm leaning over, and then you're holding on to me.
Right.
And it looks like I have my hand in your crotch.
I know. But I was actually – the best part of it.
Do you know, because it's funny because I was thinking that too. I was like, oh, you're going to pretend to grab my crotch. So I was going to pretend to grab yours.
Right.
But it ended up looking like that anyway.
I know. It's awesome. I went to grab men because yesterday was Testicle Tuesday, and we talked all about the testicles. And so we went downstairs. I'm like, oh, my God, for this picture, I'm going to grab men's testicles. As a joke, I wouldn't really grab your testicles. Yeah. So I went to grab, but you got scared and then you were just reaching. I don't think you were grabbing mine though.
No.
But it looks like you are.
It looks like my hand is in your pants.
I know. That was awesome.
Go to sexwithemily.com.
Go to sexwithemily.com and see Menace's hand in my pants.
Yeah.
Simulating being in my pants. I thought that was a cute picture though.
Yeah, it was a good photo.
Yeah, we look happy. Like we actually like each other. Okay, dear Emily and Menace, listening to more and more of your podcast every day. I love your show. You two are a good team. I've never written to any radio station video cast. However, I find myself typing an email instead of sleeping like I should be. Anyway, I just listened to the whole episode where you were talking about things that would potentially make sex a little worse. Drugs were mentioned as well as smoking and alcohol.
No, I never speak bad of alcohol. Take that back.
Menace thinks alcohol enhances performance, but he's wrong. As a smoker myself, trying to quit and listening to your show has definitely reduced my cigarette intake a lot. So thank you. Oh, my God. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. I'm helping you stop smoking. I've noticed over the last year that, one, it's smaller. Two, I don't last as long as I used to. And three, the most embarrassing, sometimes I can't get it up during sex, which was never an issue before I smoked. Third and most important, don't do drugs. Thomas from Joliet, Illinois, age 24.
That's awesome. Because, you know, can I say something? I make out with chicks that smoke, and it's like sticking your mouth in a dehydrator.
Right.
It's so dehydrating. Like I need like something that like a drink of water.
Right.
It.
And doesn't it taste bad too?
It tastes terrible and it smells bad.
Right. But he's having
they smell bad.
Yeah, but he's having issues with his penis.
I heard that.
Studies found that a link between smoking and difficulties having an erection. Nicotine tightens blood vessels and restricts blood flow. Since a man's erection depends on blood flow, researchers assume smoking affects erections. In a study published in Addiction Behavior, it was shown that just two cigarettes could cause softer erections in male smokers. Younger smokers might not notice this negative effects right away, but they could be setting themselves up for problems later. Unfortunately, there's little research on the effects of smoking on women's sexual health, but it can't be good. Smoking is not good for anything.
Yeah, it's.
I used to smoke.
It stinks.
It it's so bad. Do you remember when I smoked? Like, I smoked casually, but do you remember, like, I had to smoke when we first started the show? Like, you didn't know this, but I had to smoke. Oh, no, I'd go down during the break because it was a 3-hour show, mm-hmm. and I would go down and, like, smoke a cigarette. Like, whenever we were doing the show, I felt like I had to. Like, I'd be looking at the clock, like, I can't. And I just totally let it go. I don't smoke anymore. Anyway, yeah, smoking is bad for your penis, so don't smoke. Thomas, thanks for writing.
But okay. Don't talk bad about alcohol, Thomas.
Alcohol can some, like, one or two drinks is fine, but, like, getting completely wasted doesn't always enhance your performance.
I puked last weekend.
I know you did, honey. Are you going to drink again this weekend? Are you going to be ready to go again?
I don't know. I forget what I'm doing this weekend.
Right. Okay.
I don't plan on drinking. I don't drink every weekend. I drink on occasions.
Right. And you don't drink during the week ever, do you?
No.
Never?
Nothing. Never. That's never good. During the week.
That's great. I did last night, but just a little, because I was with the sex school friends, and they were flogging me.
Yeah, of course. Guys,
that was funny. You're like, where are you? I answered, I'm like, hey, yeah. You're like, where are you? Like, I don't know what it sounded like. Did it
it sounded like something was going on in the
background. Hey, Emily, thanks for answering my – okay, this is from yesterday. I love this. Okay, so I love that we're doing a daily show, and then okay. we email all of our premium members. If you become a Friends with Benefits member, we answer your questions right away. And we email you, let you know that we answered your questions. You can listen, we can respond, and then we can have an ongoing dialogue. So, thanks for answering my question on yesterday's show. And the question was about how this woman, Lisa, is happy with her boyfriend except for the fact that he says he's too tired to have sex. Do you remember this?
Yeah, and so I suggested start just giving him random blowjobs.
Okay, right. So she addresses that.
Okay.
Okay. So we were saying, like, what I said was, like, maybe he's got a lot of stress from work. A lot of times when men are feeling stress or anxiety about their work situation or about something going on, that they don't manifest in them not wanting to have sex. And Menace thought that she should give him more blowjobs. So the question was, the email continues, you and Menace recommended that I go down on him more, and I just want to tell you that I actually have done that quite often. I think that was Menace's suggestion. The problem, he hasn't really gone down on me at all. It's only happened twice in 10 months. That is something else I'm not used to, because in the past, guys loved going down on me. I probably should have mentioned in my first email that he does have a labor-intensive job, sleeps a lot, and smokes pot on a daily basis. So maybe that he could continue that could contribute to the low sexual desire. Yes, you failed to mention all this, Lisa.
Yeah.
It's just weird because we were all together all the time, and I'm not sure when he would have time to please himself. Maybe I should get over it and just be happy that I have a great guy. Thanks again, Lisa.
Yes, you should. But no. Second.
Okay. Scientists first began to study marijuana and sex in the 70s. Some researchers found that cannabis seems to have the effect of a love drug. In one study, 75% of male pot smokers said the drug enhanced their sex life. Mm. Meanwhile, another study found that erectile dysfunction was twice as common in marijuana users. And other research suggests a dose effect in which small amounts of marijuana have little impact on sexual dysfunction, but more marijuana makes for fewer erections. And I think that that's the case. I dated a heavy pot smoker a while ago, and he had erectile dysfunction issues. And he was young. He was like 28 or 27, but he smoked pot every single day. So I believe, and the study says that if you smoke a lot of pot, he smokes every day, her boyfriend, that's going to have effect on his desire, his libido, his ability to perform. Plus, why doesn't he go down on her? She should talk to him about it.
That's the part where she messed up. I'm like, I said, started giving him more blowjobs without having him to work more, and then I feel that it would start bringing up more sexual desire. If the guy's hella tired, of course he's not gonna go down on her. Like, what does she expect? Like, that's not
but
what
dude,
I said.
10 months without oral sex, she doesn't get any oral sex and she goes at him all the time. I'd be pissed.
You gotta slowly build back up to where you were. You can't just dive
I think
right
he's gotta stop
vagina.
Smoking pot.
Jesus
he's gotta,
Christ.
He's gotta stop smoking pot because that is gonna that's
do they have pot Viagra yet?
Exactly. That would be awesome. Probably in San Francisco they do. So yeah, Lisa, thank you so much for writing back. I love this that we can have ongoing, because sometimes we need more information. We don't know what we're going to need. So, okay, Lisa, so I would say it's the pot thing that could be a big thing, and it could be just sapping his sex drive. And plus he sleeps a lot, smokes pot, and he works a lot. So those things are all, those are all point towards erectile dysfunction. Okay. I think Menace should come up with some date ideas because he seems to frown on all the classical date ideas, dinner, movie, picnic. Menace, don't be a pussy and throw some ideas out there on the air. By the way, love the show, longtime listener and current Friends with Benefits member.
Ooh.
Keep up the good work, Gerald from Indianapolis, Indiana. Okay, Menace, what are some good dates?
You want me to throw it out right now?
He says throw it out, baby. Think about your past. What's a good date?
What's a good date? Las Vegas.
Las Vegas is a great date. Okay. But if you can't just go to Las Vegas.
If you can't just go to Las Vegas, I think, man, see, the thing is I don't go on many dates.
Right.
I kind of just go.
You just hook up with chicks.
Just hook up with chicks. But if I wanted to take a girl out on a date.
What would you do? If you're trying to like some new girl you met and you're psyched, like what would you do? No pressure.
And a bar is not involved.
Right. No, you could go to a bar if that's what you think you want to do. Oh, you see? Obviously want alcohol involved.
Yeah, of course. What? No. Well, to see if she's open to the bar. See if she's a drinker, because if she's a drinker, you're going to get laid anyways. But if she's not a drinker, then you're going to probably have to find – try to find, like, obscure activities.
Like what, Menace?
There's always, like, crazy type of events going on.
Right.
Like, at least in our city. I don't know about the cities that they go on. But, right. Like, there's, like, super fun things, at least here in San Francisco, yeah. Where – or like, oh, do you want to go check out the
comic book convention?
No,
or
not the comic book convention, or the big wheel race in San Francisco. There's a time where people just like get on big wheels, yep. And they race down the hill, and it's super fun.
Right? There's always fun, quirky events, and no matter what town you live in.
Yeah. So I would look more into this, something that's more unique than the usual.
That's a great idea. Thanks, Menace.
You know, okay. Except for kite flying. Don't kite fly.
Okay, let's move into some sex tips.
Which is not on date.
Okay, good to know. Let's move into some sex tips. We've got long distance relationships and keeping it the sex hot. We get a lot of emails about people asking about like how do I keep it hot? What do I do? Do long distance relationships work? And then also we get some phone sex tips at the end, because if you're in a long distance relationship, you might be maybe some. Actually, you're gonna like some of this. We've got some sexting tips, some phone sex tips, and then we've got some simulating sex tips. There are things that you could do. I'm going to get to that, but with the fleshlight, that you can connect your vibrators.
What are you saying?
To each. You know how you were talking about I'll get to that in a minute. Your thing that you think that everyone should have so they could have sex with
USB,
Emily?
The USB connection.
Yeah, there's actually something like that where it can.
Do you understand it now?
Kinda, yeah.
Okay.
So I'll get to that in a minute. That's going to come towards the end, the sex, the good part. Right now, here's the foreplay leading into long-distance relationships, and then we're going to end it with some sex.
All right.
Reasons why you might be in a long-distance relationship. So here's reasons why they happen. Career change, moves you cross country, you met online and want to commit, one of you go off to school. You have to get on the same page. Make an agreement as to when the separation is going to end. Because you can't be like, this is going to go on forever.
Yeah.
6 months, a year. Plan to reunite. She can move back. You can move back. You can follow her. Call it quits. Allow enough time to accomplish the goals. So don't have like an ongoing, like we're just going to be long distance and we don't know what's going to happen. If you think you can never move and he thinks he can never move, then what is the point in staying in the relationship too long?
There is no point.
No point. Communication. The amount of communication has to increase. Be on the same page about scheduling communications and how often you chat. Keep up with your dates the same as you would doing business meetings. Sending gifts or a fun surprise to keep relationships feeling new and exciting. I was in a long distance relationship. This reminds me of this. It was a long time ago. And probably about 10 years ago, I was dating this guy and he lived in Texas. We met and he lived in Texas. He was moving to San Francisco in a year, but we had this long distance. And he sent me every single week the most amazing, funny care packages and gifts. And like he did an amazing job of being like super present in my life, like almost too much. Like I think he was a little jealous and was worried I'd be dating or whatever. But every week he sent me an orchid, like the most beautiful orchid. I love orchids.
I could not have that much detail. Like,
what do you mean?
I would start forgetting about.
The girl?
The girl, like, probably after a month, I'd be
why?
Like, I couldn't keep up with that.
Yeah, but he loved me.
Oh, okay.
And then he would send me just hilarious packages, like of funny inside jokes and stuff. So, yeah, do fun. Like, no one sends stuff through the mail anymore.
Yeah.
Unless it's a bill.
This girl that I really like, she moved to Southern California, and I would just make – we weren't dating or anything, but I would make these really unique postcards. I would like either find really unique postcards or actually make postcards.
Oh,
out
cool!
Of
and you'd send them to her?
Yeah, like I actually like took a Popeye's chicken box and I cut it out and I made a postcard out of it.
Oh, that's
it was
cute.
Pretty sick. I called myself the postcard king of the West Coast.
That's so cute.
Because yeah, a lot of my friends went to college, and I would just find the sickest postcards that you could find.
I love postcard shopping. That's a fun thing to do. Getting letters in the mail that never gets old.
Yeah.
I love it.
It was really cool.
Okay.
I had one long distance relationship for 2 weeks.
Okay. What happened?
So, of course, it was high school. But right. This is the funniest part because I got so dicked on this one.
Okay.
All right. So, I was living in the Bay Area, which is, you know, surrounds outside. San Francisco is part of the Bay Area, but I lived in the surrounding area, right? And I was a senior and I was dating a junior. So, I had to go off to college the next year, which I did. And then I kept on dating her because we lived in the same area.
Right.
So I was in college doing my thing. I was fine with the relationship. And then she applied to go to all these schools that she didn't get into.
Okay.
But she really wanted to go to one in San Diego.
Okay.
So I came up with a bright idea. I'm like, hey, why don't you just go to a JC down there, junior college.
Right.
And then transfer to the school that you want to go to because she only had to take like one class and she would have been in.
Okay.
So she goes, what about us, you know? And I go, well, I don't care. I'm like, I'm doing my thing. I'm going to school. I don't,
right.
You know, it's cool. We can make it work.
Right.
No big deal. And then she goes, okay, cool. Because, you know, I really want to, you know, make this work and blah, blah. Fine. Dude, 2 weeks she was down in San Diego partying. And she calls me up. She goes, so what do you see in the future for us? And I go, well, hopefully we're, you know, still together.
Aww.
And then she goes, yeah, it's not going to work out, right?
Aww.
Then she was
poor little man's little heart.
No.
I have no heart.
Dude, I got this smoking hot chick right after that.
Of course.
But, like, after, like, partying and stuff, she ends up moving back. Like, after a year, and she tried to get with me, and I would not.
And you're,
not,
like, so
no.
done and done. I'm whatever good. Happened to her? This was your high school girlfriend?
I don't know whatever happened to her. Like, right. We kept in contact for a little while, but right. Then she ended up
San Diego for 2 weeks, right?
Disappearing. But it was – I thought it was hilarious.
That is hilarious. She's like, no, I'm in San Diego, and see ya. But then she wanted you back. They always come back around.
Yeah, but once that happens, I'll never take somebody back.
No?
Hell no.
No?
If you, like, did me dirty –
Yeah.
No way. I'm sorry.
I don't ever want to F you over. Okay, remember that. Okay, long distance sex. Send erotic emails. Old fashioned mail can also be a nice surprise. Sexting throughout the day or texting a racy photo creates anticipation for a phone sex date later. It's fun to sex because you can reread the message later. I love reading like my sexts and stuff. You can go through and read them. Although I haven't been sexting a lot lately, but I used to like read them to my friends because they were really funny. So here's some phone sex tips, and we've also got some stuff about Skype sex. Oh, we got to get into it all. How much? Yes. Okay. Before you dial, dim the lights, have a glass of wine, or dip into an erotic novel. Start off slow. Say what you want to do or what you're thinking. I'm wearing that coconut oil that you like. I'm on the chair in my nightgown. Try having a cheat sheet for what to say if you're not sure. Some people might have never done it before.
Oh, no.
Get into fantasies and descriptions. Make it realistic so your partner can imagine what you. I'm imagining you bent over the bed. I'd like to squeeze your breasts. It's important to breathe deeply so your partner knows you're enjoying it. Speak slowly. Emphasize the letter of each word. So you talk to and you respond to what he's saying. So I imagine you slowly penetrating me while I'm bent over the bed once you both reach climax and the call. And the call once you both reach climax because you're both exhausted. It's like your way of cuddling is just like hanging up. But that's what you do when you're having phone sex. You just describe scenarios that have happened in the past or what you're thinking or like I'm thinking about your large television set or whatever. I always date guys with like huge TVs. I don't know what it is. It's really weird. So Skype sex. Have you ever had Skype sex?
No.
Never? Okay, me neither.
I just got a Skype account this weekend.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay, Skype sex. I've never done it, but I had a guy I was dating last year. He was like, let's do Skype sex, and we never got around to it, but – Okay, tell her what you want, dirty talk, undressing, mutual masturbation. Be careful about protecting your internet connection. Don't show your face if you're not confident with your privacy settings, just like sending dirty texts. Watch porn together, sync up porn, and mutually masturbate to it. Okay, so here's a sex toy thing. It's called the Simulator.
Yeah.
Where each partner connects their sex toy to the computer, and the internet syncs up the toys with both members using it. So it's like the fleshlight to the computer, to the internet,
that's
to the computer, to the rabbit vibrator.
Talking about.
Okay, I didn't get it. I get it now.
Yeah.
So you can simulate, like he could be penetrating the fleshlight, which is like a vagina toy. It looks like a toy. It looks like a vagina that he can have sex with. And she's got her rabbit, let's say, and they're all synced up on the computer. So when he thrusts,
No way.
Yes, I swear to God.
Who makes this?
The Simulator. I don't know. Look it up.
The Sinulator?
S-I-N-U-L-A-T-O-R.
No effing way.
Yes. So I could do it. You could have a fleshlight, vagina, fake vagina thing, and I could have my rabbit, and then...
I feel you
penetrating it, and it's synced up with my vibrator. Yeah, crazy, crazy things. You could do this even if you're not in a long-distance relationship. Tomorrow's show, learn the best techniques for sensual massage and learn how it can enhance your sex life. Sensual massages are awesome. Like, they hit all your pressure points, and all these people are talking about, like, my partner doesn't want to have sex, or I'm kind of too tired. Like, you could, like, hit all these pressure points and just, like, blow your partner's mind, and we're going to teach you how to do that tomorrow.
Good.
Good. Are you excited?
Yeah, the show went by pretty quick.
I know. I think we're done.
Oh, yeah, we are.
We're done and done. All right, everyone. Thanks so much for listening to Sex with Emily. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.